Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Exile. This Advent hymn lifts up for us a time in the story of God's people when they found themselves in a place of exile. And while I would not equate our situation to that of the same sort of exile, I believe that this Advent hymn once again speaks into places that we know well, places where we grieve or mourn, places where we find ourselves lonely at times, places in which we too feel like we are perhaps in exile, maybe feeling powerless or uncertain. For Daniel, in the story we hear today, it is a time of exile, true exile in the sense of this Advent hymn as well, for he is experiencing Persian rule. That means there are practices that are not true to what he understands to be faithful to the one God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God to whom he prays three times a day. And yet Daniel, in the midst of this exile, is faithful. And what gives him hope in the meantime is his prayers to a God whom he trusts will hear him. Typically, what we know about the book of Daniel is pretty much watered down to this one story. There are actually some great stories in the book of Daniel, including the story of King Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But oftentimes it is this story that is the one that we go to. And oftentimes it is a sweet and simple little story. We picture those cute little lions, just like in the picture here in the front of this storybook, or maybe those little characters from the little people. But it's much more a story about resistance and strength in the face of adversity and in a time of exile. In fact, the entire book of Daniel is really about strength and resistance. Resistance to the powers that be when one feels powerless. And rightly so, Daniel is lauded for his faithfulness in this time. But to only remember Daniel's part of the story is to limit what it is that God is at work in doing through other characters in the story, including King Darius. Now, King Darius has been manipulated. He comes across as a little bit of a pushover in some ways, because apparently his advisors are asking him to do something that we learn later is against his practice, or at least what he wanted to do. They trick him into signing a decree, and this frames an innocent man named Daniel. Just when King Darius realizes what he has done, he probably had that moment thinking, I trusted these men, and now look at the situation. And he has such compassion for Daniel. And again, he must have thought, oh, what was I thinking? How could I have done this? And we learn that Darius has a sleepless night, a night where he is unable to eat. He is tossing and turning, not a wink of sleep, because he is so concerned for the state of Daniel. Did you remember that part of the story? How it is that, yes, Daniel is faithful, but King Darius, too, has an enormous wake-up call, literally awake all night long, wondering what the morning will bring. Have you ever had a sleepless night? A night where you have been tossing and turning, and perhaps there's been some excitement from the day that you just can't quite settle down from, or perhaps there was something difficult that you just can't let go, and so it keeps working in your head over and over. I often joke when people ask me, how did you sleep last night? Oh, you don't know me very well. When I sleep like the dead. Literally. I can sleep anywhere, in any situation, in any particular position, sitting up, laying down, whatever. It seems like sleep comes very easily for me. But I know this is not the case for everyone. Oftentimes, the nights are very long. Maybe it is that tossing and turning. Maybe it is that anxiety. Maybe it is just not knowing what tomorrow may bring. Those kind of anxious thoughts that keep us awake make us long for the morning. This past August, I had the great opportunity of traveling to Tanzania, East Africa, with 10 of our Bethel family members, and we had a marvelous experience. We traveled to the Zinga Children's Hospital, which Bethel has been supporting in a variety of ways, but this group had gone specifically to do some work there and to see what was happening at this new birthing center. It is Denny and Paula Lofstrom who are behind this amazing operation of care for the children and mothers of Tanzania. And just on an aside note, they will be here in 2 weeks to share in our adult forum more about this building and the process of the children's hospital. So I encourage you to come and hear their stories. Well, back to our experience this summer. We went with the opportunity to paint the interior rooms of this particular new birthing center and women's health unit that also has a NICU attached to it as well. It was a great experience and hard work, but a lot of fun, and we felt good about the accomplishments we made. As part of the experience, we had opportunity to go on a safari, and Paula and Denny asked if they might come with us, and they had an idea. We would use a new safari company, something they had never used before, and instead of staying in a resort at the safari park, we would be staying in tents, canvas tents, in the middle of bush country. When I got the flyer about it, I thought, what was I thinking? But we all got excited, wrapped our minds around it, and off we went on safari. We were in Ruaha National Park, a new place I'd never been before. Well, it was quite the setup. It was just our 12 folks right in this little camp, 6 tents total, and then there was a tent where we ate, so a dining hall tent. You can't really see it as well, but there's a long table under a tent, and another tent that was our lounging area. Well, our first night that we were there, we had opportunity, obviously, to be on safari that day, and so we were kind of dusty and needed to get cleaned up. And because we were in tents, there was no running water, so what was hooked up were these contraptions, a little bit higher buckets, that they'd fill with hot water, and then we'd have a chance to get cleaned up. Well, at the end of the day, it was also a rule that when you were heading back to your tent, that you would need the accompaniment of an armed member of their staff, because you never know what you can encounter in Africa, especially in the night. Well, that first night, we did head back to our wonderful tent. We had a great escort and felt very safe, and Pam, my tent mate, and I settled in for the night and visited a little bit. We were kind of wound up, and so we visited and then turned out the light. Normally, I fall right asleep, but that night there was a lot of things and a new place, new sounds. Sometimes even the darkness can play tricks on you. It was then that I heard a sound. It was on Pam's side of the tent, a scratching sound on the wall of the tent. I figured Pam was sleeping at this point, so I didn't want to wake her. But I decided to just perhaps think about other things. Maybe Pam had an itch on her leg. Maybe something else was going on that was, you know, they're raking outside or something. Well, it eventually ended. And then I heard another curious sound. This time it sounded as if the water had been knocked over. It was a psss. At that point I said, Pam, are you awake? She said, oh yeah. Do you hear that? Mm-hmm. Is the shower on? Mm-mm. She goes, that's an animal. That's a large animal outside our tent. And it was, in fact, about a yard away from us, relieving itself. You've been to the zoo. You know what it sounds like, right? that was happening. I froze. I was in my bunk. Oh my goodness, right here, that's where it was. So I stayed still. I rolled over to the side as far as I could, and I could hear an animal, which we were convinced was a lion, coming next to us. Well, I must have fallen asleep. Remember, I sleep like the dead? I didn't really want to die that night. But that night, fell asleep with hope for the morning. We woke up, we went to breakfast, and the first thing our host said to us was, "Hey, did you hear there was a lion in camp last night?" Yes, we did. We heard it very close to us. And then Megan Larson, who was in the camp the cabin next to us, or the tent next to us, and with her grandma said, "Oh yeah, I heard it chuffing next to our tent. It was so cool." I will tell you that a close encounter with a lion evokes prayer. Lots of prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. I prayed and prayed and prayed that night until I fell asleep with hope for the morning. Daniel prayed and prayed and prayed. Not just the night when he was facing the lions, but he made it a practice, a devotion, to pray to his God and to trust that God would hear him. In this season of Advent, we are called again to a time of intentional prayer and devotion. For many of us, this is an ongoing thing in our lives of faith, but this season allows a new opportunity to renew that act of prayer and devotion. And for some of us, we are like King Darius, perhaps needing a call to prayer again, a call to be reminded of the work of the living God, the one whom Daniel called upon faithfully, and this season offers us opportunity to do that. For it is true that we have lions circling around us. Lions, not literally, of course, but those things that threaten us from day to day. Uncertainties of health and wellness. Wondering about our children, our grandchildren, and the ways in which they are called to lead and serve and follow. Ways in which our world seems to be filled with unrest, and how it is that peace might be found again. All kinds of situations of grief and loneliness, all situations that you know well, places that you might even call places of exile, where you may even feel powerless. And yet, the same God who offers Daniel comfort in the face of lions, safety and security, gives that promise to you today. And King Darius offers a word as well. It is actually the word that will usher us now into the Advent season. Will you join me in reading it? "For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, for he has saved Daniel from the power of the lions, and he has saved you from sin, death, and the powers at work in this world. You are given new life. You are given the promise that God hears your prayers and is with you. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you. Amen."